A lot of folks being stuck at home, coming up with ideas of what to do to pass the time. Many of them, millions of them, are playing video games more often. According to the Entertainment Software Association, 3/4 of U.S. households have at least one person who plays video games. And here to talk a little bit about that and maybe what we can keep in mind, especially with our children, how do we kind of monitor some of that, is Patricia Vance, who's president of the Entertainment Software Rating Board. Patricia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. We also have with us Dr. Rachel Cowart, research director for Take This and science content creator Psychgeist. Please pardon me. Not the Psychgeist. That's a whole different version of that. Dr. Cowart, tell me a little bit about what you do related to this topic.
Yeah, so I research games and gamers, and I've done so for about 15 years, and the ways that games impact players physically, socially, and psychologically.
So there's a lot that goes on with that. Not only, I guess, the brain functioning with everything and just how the people interact with maybe the other people in their household during this time, or what these games maybe imprint on them, perhaps. And Patricia, tell me a little bit about the Entertainment Software Rating Board. Is this just kind of reviewing games and whose content is appropriate for what age?
Well, we're best known for the rating system, yes. So we assign ratings to virtually every game that's sold in the United States. If you walk into a store or go online or even go onto a mobile device, we're assigning ratings. And then we also enforce marketing guidelines for the industry to make sure that games are being responsibly marketed and that, you know, companies are advertising in ways that, you know, are not offensive to the consumer.
When you apply those ratings, is it a subjective thing? Do you have certain criteria? How does that work?
We've been doing this now for over 25 years, so we have a lot of parity for how we've rated over the years, and we try to make sure that we're very consistent, which is how we've earned the trust of parents. 8 out of 10 parents consider these ratings to be extremely or very important in informing them about the purchase decision or the, you know, whether or not a game is okay for their kids to play. There are 3 parts to the ratings. There's age ratings, there's content descriptors, and there are interactive elements now. So there's a lot of information about everything from what's the content, the age appropriateness of that game, but also if there's user interaction or if there are in-game purchases and the like. So lots of information. We also have rating summaries on our website or through our mobile app, which give you even more context and examples of the content that that you're going to find in a video game that your kid wants to play.
So over the summer, a lot of time spent maybe not even going out but doing these types of games. Talk a little bit about, I guess, what parents need to know. I suppose there's parents who say, here's the game, see you in a couple of hours, and then there's other parents like, I'm not sure. Let me see how this is going. And I'm wondering if, you know, how much anxiety they need to have. How do you balance those two kind of approaches?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, 9 out of 10 families have household rules around games. So most parents are actively involved in determining which games are appropriate and setting limits about how much time or when or, you know, spending money and the like. But, you know, obviously parents can't be there all the time. So that's where parental controls come in. Virtually every game device that is out on the market, whether it's a tablet, a mobile, you know, a smartphone, a console, or a computer, have parental controls built in that enable parents to do things like control spending, either block it altogether or set an allowance. Limiting time, it also allows you to limit time. You can restrict online communications, in some cases approve who your child can play with online, and then block by the ESRB rating so that your child can't play games that you haven't approved in terms of the age rating. So there are a lot of things that parents can do, and it's pretty easy. it's an easy medium for parents to get a hold of, to get control over.
How do you recommend that parents play these games either along with the kids or ahead of time, or have some sort of understanding really what the content of this game or the object of this game is supposed to be?
Well, probably the best.
Definitely. Go ahead. Yeah,
No. The best way to find out what's in a game is to play it yourself, of course. There are also lots of videos online that you can look at and get a sense as to the content. But Dr. Cowart, you can add to this.
I was going to say, not all parents, I always advocate to play. If you don't want to play with them, though, just being in the room with them and just looking over their shoulder, first of all, it gives you a firsthand look at what they're playing. But second of all, it also opens conversation. You know, why do you like this game? What do you like about it? And it will open a dialogue with your children just by showing a little bit of interest in what they like. And you may be surprised where those conversations go.
What about the fact that sometimes you think if someone's just doing a game and they're like alone, in a sense, maybe contacted with someone, how do they keep their social skills? How do they continue to develop that in that situation?
Oh, that is a stereotype. Games are so social. I think that there's this impression that because they're sitting with headphones and maybe not actively talking all the time, that games are an antisocial activity, but there's actually no evidence in the research to suggest that our ability to communicate atrophies because we play these games. It was actually my PhD dissertation. So you asked the right lady. so we don't have to worry too much about that.
What are some of the concerns we need to worry about then in these type of games or any kind of platform like this?
I mean, games should just be one of many things that our children do. I think variety is the spice of life. Games shouldn't be the only activity. There's things to talk about like sedentary lifestyle and that sort of thing. And of course, I think Patricia can speak to this as well. I think stranger danger is one of the biggest concerns when it comes to online games and connected games. But there's ways that the ESRB has identified that as well, I believe.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Cowart. Yes, I mean, there are things, tips that parents should heed when it comes to particularly online gameplay, and including don't leave the game. You know, it's very important that the child stays within the context of the game and the platform, so that in the event they get asked to go to an outside chat or another server, that they should just know that's not allowed. And the other thing that I think parents need to really make sure that their kids are doing is not lying about their age. When you're registering for a new console or registering for a game or trying to access content on the internet, it's really important that they use their real birth date, because there are protections, particularly for the under 13-year-olds, protections built in to games and platforms, whether it's making sure that protecting their personal information or other types of protections that are really important for parents to know about.
There's all sorts of topics and kind of games that are going on. What seems to be the most interesting one? What is maybe sort of a newer generation interested in? What kind of interaction or what kind of games or solving problem type of things are they looking for?
Well, certainly the community aspect, as Dr. Cowart mentioned, is a very essential part of playing games today. But there's now platforms like Roblox that allow kids to actually create their own games and share them with other kids. Roblox has become very popular. Minecraft is also another very popular game that enables kids to really build their own thing. So it's not a passive, games aren't passive to begin with, but it's a more active approach. You know, the other thing is kids are getting interested in coding because of their experience with some of these, you know, build your own game platforms. And so it's a great way to get your kids into STEM activities.
Some of them could probably learn to build their own game system too after a while, because they're probably thinking, Mom, we need to upgrade it. Didn't you see what they got down the street?
Yeah, for sure.
So if people want to find out more about some of the things we've talked about, making it better for them, the experience for the whole family, parents and kids, where's a good place maybe to get some good information on this?
ESRB.org is a great place to start for rating information, and the other website I would recommend is parentaltools.org, which provides step-by-step instructions on how to set up those parental controls I mentioned earlier.
Sounds good. We appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing all this information.
Thank you.